This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
And good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with George Allman. Both Mark and Ken have the weekend off. Good morning.
Oh, that was simultaneous, like stereo. Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for asking. How are you this fine morning?
I am doing well for an old man.
Did you have to qualify that? It gets older every day, doesn't it?
It does. Man. It does. But life is good, so.
I was noticing had a little bit of mist on the way up here today.
You were saying that. I did not see that on my way down.
And the forecast, they have upped the precipitation forecast for some parts of San Diego County dramatically. Fivefold. That's a lot. Five times.
Yeah, but, you know, what was your starting point, just for reference here?
1/100th of an inch of rain.
So it's going to be catastrophic.
And so now we're looking at maybe up to 5/100ths of an inch of rain in some areas. So be very careful. If you're the first car out on the road when that 1/100th of an inch of rain comes up and lifts up the oil off the roads, they're going to be extra slippery. So as a public service announcement, be careful out there.
Drive carefully.
Yes.
I think with that amount of rain, I'll probably be able to work in the garden today. I'm not overly concerned.
Well, we're going to be running out of time to easily be able to push gopher hawks down into the soil while it stays moist.
True, true. And have you been setting your gopher hawks and other devices?
I have, but I need to reset. I have failed this week in gopher hawking. I have not gotten a gopher this week, and it's almost over. This is Saturday,
is almost
it not?
Over. You need to get out there, mister.
Yeah, I do. I tried flooding them out yesterday. To no avail. But while I was flooding them out, I noticed that my onions that I did plant this year and have kept alive and kept the gophers away from them are sending up flower heads.
Ooh.
So.
It's time to harvest them.
Okay. As soon as you see those.
They start hollowing out when the flower heads start
forming. As soon
as
it comes up, it's almost too late. I should have harvested them last week.
Yes.
Them last week.
Yeah. They're going to start getting tough.
Thank you for that timely tip.
But here's what you do, though. You let them. Those flower heads form. They're gorgeous. Bees love the flowers of onions, and you will have a ton of bees in there. And those seeds will fall, and in the winter when the rains come again, you will have a large quantity of volunteer onions that you didn't have to go purchase.
I did that a year or two ago. The flower spike fell over, and they all started germinating, but then summer came, and it got dry, and they all
water.
Died.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very, very sad. Okay, well, thank you for that timely tip. I will go home and harvest, and I will hang them by their little heads. No?
Bulbs?
By their flower spikes.
Ah, why would you hang them that way?
Because it's there.
Okay.
Then is that there you not go. The way you do it? Do you invert them?
Do
you chop the tops off?
I am a lazy, lazy gardener when it comes to this. When we harvest them, for the longest time, I was leaving them out on a bale of straw. So they would just dry out in the sun and then bring them in.
You know, I wanted an onion a couple of days ago, speaking of lazy gardeners. I really, really needed an onion for what I was doing. But I didn't want to walk the 50 feet out to the garden to pick them and then have to peel off the outer layers and then wash it and then cut it. So I just used some dried minced onion instead.
That's a true first world problem right there, my friend.
I couldn't do it.
I understand it. I truly do. You know how far our garden is from the kitchen, and it's the same thing. It's like, let's make a salad. I have to go down to the garden and get stuff. What else do we have?
Yes, let's just do something from the fridge.
That's tough.
And do we have any classes? I know it's a little early for me to get into classes.
That's fine. I'm happy to do classes. Okay. We do have classes today in San Diego at 9 a.m. It's Bring the Heat, All About Peppers with Kyra. And then at 9.
Before you go on from that, do you know what I really like about peppers?
The variety.
Yes, but not that.
Okay. The colors.
Yes, but not that.
The ease of growing.
Yes, but not that. Well, yes, sort of that. That's you're touching on. You can leave a six-pack of peppers sitting on the side of the garage next to a six-pack of tomatoes for the same amount of time. And during that time, the tomato will get spotty and kind of croak. And the peppers don't care. They're much more tolerant of...
your neglect.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I really like about peppers. We can get into all the other stuff.
I was going to get into a little bit later what you may have been planting thus far or plan on planting for the summer garden.
Okay, we won't
do that
now.
But and at 9:30 today in Poway, we have a class called Rainwater Harvesting and Permaculture with Chris Mader. And Chris has his own permaculture and rainwater harvesting.
Chris
company.
Mader?
Is that Mader?
Toe Mader?
No, that is not.
It's related
from Cars,
to
Toe, right?
Yes, from the movie
well
Cars.
Done. Yeah,
well
that's
done.
That's a reach. No, it
but
is,
you
it is
knew
not,
what it was. I think that's the real reach
that's
here.
That's a great, great show. And Capri and I love parts of Disneyland, and I think it's in the California portion of Disneyland. They have the Cars, a whole section of the Cars stuff.
Yes.
It's all like Route 66. It's really neat stuff. So I like that movie.
Okay.
So anyway. So Chris is, will be there at 9:30 to talk all about rainwater harvesting and permaculture, which includes, you know, planting the right plants for the right area.
Should we talk about rainwater storage real quick and get that out of the way so that, you know, we...
I know you're not a fan. I understand that.
No, I didn't mean that.
Oh, what?
Well, we don't have any rainwater barrels, do we?
No, we don't carry them. But our good friend Kevin
That's
Rangetto's
where I was headed
company,
with
yes,
that.
In fact, I will...
Because he,
yes.
That's how I knew what the class was. Kevin said, oh, you can send them to me for the rainwater barrels.
So what you're saying is Kevin reads our newsletters and schedules and you don't? Is that what I just heard?
Sorry. I'm sorry. What?
It sounded as though he has a better awareness of the classes we're doing than you do. That's
I would
all
suggest,
I'm saying.
I would suggest to you, Captain, people have a better awareness of things going on around me than I.
That's fair.
Okay.
And I would argue that... I am also in that same boat, so.
Okay.
So let's talk some more class.
Yeah,
more
next week's
going
classes.
Okay, next week classes at, that's April 20th. Wow. I know Ken would say we're almost to the end of the month already with that class coming up. But that said, 9 o'clock, San Diego, get the 411 on 420. What you need to know about how to grow cannabis for personal use with Richard.
Oh.
Go
ahead,
okay.
Sorry.
And at 9:30 in Poway, Dragon Fruit Care and Culture with Alan Ridley. Now, Alan is our supplier for some of the dragon fruit, correct?
Yes, he is.
Yep. So that should be a good class, learning the different varieties and the best way to take care of them.
And he lives dragon fruit. There's a little emoji on my phone that shows a guy in glasses, and that just makes me think. He lives and breathes dragon fruit. So if you want to know... more dragon fruitish. It's a perfect
should be a good class
opportunity.
I love the flowers on the dragon fruit; they're just spectacular.
Agreed.
Do you grow any dragon fruit? Let me do it this way: not do you have any?
I do.
Okay. Do you grow successfully?
No.
Okay.
Well, I grow the plants really well,
but not the fruit.
I don't take the time. As
and
surprise.
That is fair. We have a bunch of named varieties right now in pots that I moved from the other house, and we have not planted them yet, and I need to get them in the ground. They're gorgeous.
There was a day Ken Anderson and I were up driving in the North County, and we went past a guava farm, and they had chopped the tops off of the guavas and had planted dragon fruit under them. And they were using the guava trees as dragon fruit supports.
That's interesting.
So I went and planted my dragon fruit under my guava trees, but I don't cut back the guava trees enough to give the dragon fruit sun.
Well,
so they're growing like weeds.
Well, they're a tropical cactus, so in a perfect world, they would grow through the canopy and spread their...
Well, they haven't gotten to the top.
Okay.
And they've grown well, but they don't get enough food. The guavas are surprisingly drought tolerant.
They are. Yes.
I didn't realize. I would not have suspected that. I know it. I've lived it. But I would. You wouldn't think of them as being. I wouldn't think of them as being drought tolerant.
And I would think that one of the bigger mistakes people make on dragon fruit is they think of it as a cactus.
Yes.
And they just throw it out there in the middle of the hot sun and say, well, it's a cactus like my others, and then it doesn't perform well because it's not a, you know, a San Diego desert cactus. It's a tropical.
I have a bunch of other ones, the non-dragon fruiting ones, but the epiphyllums, the orchid cactus, right. And they are budding and getting ready to bloom, and they are incredible. You think the dragon fruit flowers look good. Wait till you see some of these other ones with all their colors, and they tolerate me. And will still bloom.
More neglect than humanly possible.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the safari park has a big exhibit.
They used to have that.
Well, they had that
house up in the back.
Right, and they don't have that house any longer, but they do have a section up in that area by Condor Ridge where they have them all hanging within the trees. And we were there several weeks ago, and that section was closed off maybe as they're prepping them, getting ready for the blooms.
Or maybe something else.
Well, they're still there. You can see them. You just can't access them.
I gotcha. Right. Maybe they want you to observe them from afar.
Maybe so. So I know Ken loves to talk about the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation.
Oh, thank you.
And so today, the 13th, there is a San Diego, speaking of cactus and succulent, there's a San Diego Cactus and Succulent Society meeting taking place from 8 to 5 in room
101.
And there is a workshop there as well from 8 to 5. And here's the one that caught my eye is there is a Orchid Society next week, starts on the 18th. So the San Diego Orchid Society show and sale is on the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. So
that's 4 days.
That's a lot of sales.
That's
for
Friday
orchids.
Through Monday.
That's
according to my advance.
Thursday through Sunday.
Well, isn't Sunday the 20th? Oh, yeah,
no,
4 days.
No, Saturday's the 20th.
Oh.
Yep. So there you go. So an interesting now I know Ken will tell you that if you haven't been, you need to go to that because there are more orchids than you can
shake a stick at.
There are tons of varieties that you may have never seen, some varieties that are unique, and lots of people bring their wares. So
okay. The next one, flower fields.
The flower fields are open, and they open every year from early March through May. And if you would like to go to that up in Carlsbad, you have to purchase tickets online. There are no at-the-door tickets.
That's very sad.
That is, actually. It makes it, you know, if you don't, I don't know.
Everybody knows someone who can.
Yeah, but they're open.
Okay, that's it?
Well, they've been doing
it. I was expecting more from you for that.
What do you want to know? They've been doing it for over 60 years.
And they're beautiful flowers, and it's the ranunculus, primarily. What else do you get to see there other than, is that on your little list?
Well, all kinds of things for kids to do. There are tractor rides. There are sweet pea mazes. I don't know if their sweet peas would be blooming yet.
Yours, they should be almost done.
Really? Ours are just about yay big, which I'm showing.
Well, that's pretty tall for you.
It is.
It's
but
a forest.
But they're not blooming yet.
It's a maze.
They're not blooming at all. We're actually looking forward to that.
Okay, so. Now looking at the clock, I don't want you to say anymore.
That's why I was backing off.
I gotcha. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We had a special delivery yesterday to Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway. And one of our customers who are listeners, who has gotten tired of listening to Ked Badmouth beets on the air, brought in a beet bread recipe that doesn't taste like beets, but there was beets in there. And unfortunately, she was not aware that neither he nor Mark were going to be here today. And I'm guessing she doesn't know you're gluten-free, and I tried to get you to eat some, but you wouldn't.
Well, again, we joked about this, but if I had eaten it, we would be calling this emergency medical radio and not garden talk
radio.
Yeah,
but it would have been fun.
It would have been interesting.
Could have added a little bit.
I didn't bring the Epi stick, so we would have really had a medical emergency.
Well, they probably have one in the building.
Maybe, but it's kind of everything's kind of locked up at this hour.
Anyway, Ken was at the nursery yesterday, so he tried it, and he liked it. And he took two pieces. Yes, it was Hey Mikey. It was delicious. And he was looking for the recipe so that he could have some at home.
So beets get a bad rap, as you know.
No, they don't. Well, they do here.
But there are many people who don't like it. And I know that you and I are fond of them.
I am fond of them too, by the way, I will say.
Yeah. And now we do, I make a beet juice.
Oh,
Capri often makes it for me as well.
That was actually there was an extra flavor in there yesterday that wasn't the best.
Maybe there was too much ginger.
That's probably it. Okay. I'm not looking a gift beet juice in the mouth.
But we do drink beet juice on a regular basis.
It's supposed to be good for me.
But it's tasty. I like it. And you can eat the beet greens as well. What do you got there?
I have a potting soil question. Shall we take it?
Sure.
All right. Before we do that, though, it's from Ann in El Cajon. And when I was growing up and my mom wanted to call the school about something, she didn't want them to know who it was, and she was always Ann Rogers.
From El Cajon?
Well, kind of. Good morning, Ann. You're not Ann Rogers, are you?
No.
Okay. What was your question?
I thought I remembered a while back one of you saying that you could reuse potting soil. Did I dream that, or did you?
Well, I would say that you can reuse potting soil. I would think George would say that.
He's shaking his head up and down. Yes, I agree.
We,
with a couple of exceptions. I mean, if you're growing tomatoes, I wouldn't use it year after year after year.
But would you use it year after year? Just
yes.
Once?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
What is your situation? Let's try that.
Well, my situation, and actually it relates to a comment I wanted to, or a story I wanted to share. But last year I had to put all of my tomatoes, except for one, in a pot. And now I've got 5 pots that had tomatoes. One actually has a volunteer growing, so I'm going to leave that and let it grow this year. But I've got all this potting soil, and since I've been using the gopher hawk, I'm actually going to try to grow a tomato in the ground again. I used to grow them in the ground for years, and, you know, they're beautiful, but I had such a problem with gophers that I was afraid to try to grow them last year. So this year I'm going to at least do 2 or 3 in the ground, but what do I, you know, I didn't know what to do with all the potting soil, so I just wanted to know if I could reuse it.
I usually would freshen potting soil. I would add some new potting soil or a little bit of compost to it with the tomato caveat, the tomato caution, and I guess you could use it on other vegetables.
Right, but if you're going to use the potting soil in the ground, unless I misunderstood, you plan on trying
No.
Okay.
No, I just didn't know what to do with all that.
Yeah, you can use it.
Okay. And then the story is I've been using the gopher hawk very successfully. The other day I went out, I had a gopher hawk in the ground. It was 3 days, and I'm very impatient. If I don't get one in 2 days, I start looking around. But I didn't really have any other mounds. You know, I didn't see anywhere to put it in the back of the yard, which is where it was. So I went out there in the morning, and then at night before it came in, I saw the yellow band, and I was like, oh, yay, yellow band. So I went to pull it out, and I couldn't pull it out. And I thought, oh, no, the ground is already too hard, because I remember you talking about that when it stops raining, it's going to be harder to use the gopher hawk. So I had to get a shovel. I got a shovel, and to my surprise, I caught a squirrel.
Oh.
Bonus. Bonus. Congratulations. That, now wow.
You've done that as well.
Or no, not with a gopher hawk.
Oh, that was a black box.
It was with the black hole.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Well, good for you.
That's probably a better catch than a gopher.
Yeah, I was thrilled, but now I'm worried that I've got squirrels running through my gopher tunnels.
Well, you do.
Well, you did. Or you did.
At least one, yes.
Well, congrats. Go out and reset it and get another one.
After that, then I started to see another, more activity, and kind of in the same part of the yard, but further away. So it is reset, but is there anything beside a gopher hawk that I can put underground for squirrels?
The aforementioned black box that David likes a lot.
But that goes above ground. It goes near the opening.
Yeah, right at the opening. But the Maccabees are the type that you would insert in the tunnels as well at the openings.
Do they catch squirrels, though? Those are...
The black hole, no. The black hole does. A little bit of chicken scratch near where the squirrels will come to you in the black hole. It will take care of them.
And I said, no, speaking of the Maccabee, because that typically does not.
And you do not want to leave a Maccabee above ground.
Right.
You want that down in the hole.
Yeah, I have some of them.
Thanks for the call, Ann.
You're welcome.
Have a great morning.
So you noticed how she was excited about the yellow band.
Yes.
And so I believe it was yesterday or the day prior, I was looking out our window across the property, and Capri said to me, what are you looking at? I said, I'm searching for yellow bands because we have a bunch of gopher hawks out on the property.
Maybe we should write a movie or in search of yellow bands.
A yellow band, yes. Always an exciting thing to see when you're successful in eradicating.
I apologize for what we at Walter Anderson Nursery have done to you. You used to be a normal human being, and now you're one of us.
Not with that. Not with pests in the garden. No.
If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. Are you enjoying our transition into spring?
I am. We attacked the vegetable garden and removed everything that was left over from the winter garden, with a couple of exceptions, and that being the ground cherries, the physalis.
Yes.
And the potatoes. And a handful of onions. But everything else has been removed in preparation for the spring garden in the summer garden. But we haven't gotten there yet. We need to do a little bit more tidying up and raking and resetting some irrigation.
Doctor tested preparation H. You said preparation of the garden. And
your mind
that's
went,
where
to,
it went
to eighth grade. Okay.
That's where it went. Well,
I just gave you some credit.
There.
I usually say sixth grade.
Yes,
so.
I'm maturing.
Barely.
Thank you very, very much. How far are we from summer? Do you know?
June 21st-ish, and I haven't looked at the number of days between now and then.
Oh, we're a week from April 21st-ish, so two months away.
2 months, roughly.
And a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you harvested anything in preparation? Did you harvest from the garden?
We did. We had a bunch of cabbage, and unfortunately, we had we let part of the garden get far too overgrown with weeds, and it became a snail and slug, I don't know, nursery of some sort. It was just more than I've ever seen, and it ate a lot of the crops, the leaf crops.
Oh, we've been seeing a lot of that coming in at the nursery because of all the moisture we've had, and it's been a cool, moist spring. Even when we haven't had a ton of rain, it's been overcast, and we've had drizzle. Of course, last week we had two 80-degree days, or darn close to it.
Yeah.
Why are you?
I love that. I was out there in shorts and a t-shirt working. I love the heat. So.
That was a visual I didn't need, but thank you. Yeah, it was nice. And I picked out my two six-packs of tomatoes, but I didn't want to take them home.
They're still at work. I saw them.
They're sitting inside out of the weather.
I think on Wednesday they were on the desk that I use. And on Thursday I saw them on the...
Just outside?
Yeah, and they were there yesterday when I left as well. So
I'm thinking I'll take them home today.
So that brings up an interesting idea here. A lot of people purchased tomatoes back in February and early March as soon as they were available.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of those right now.
And a lot of people are coming in with their tomatoes complaining about how poor they're doing.
Early blight, spots, leaf spots, and all of that. Yes.
So would you say they planted a little too early, perhaps, with the weather we had?
Well, this year, yes.
Right.
And last year, yes. But next year and 3 years ago and 4 years ago and 5 years ago, no,
maybe
it would have been
not.
Fine.
Right.
Remember I had my big epiphany and I took home my tomatoes? And that experiment failed. But if you do have all those diseases on there, John from the San Diego Botanic Garden is on the phone, but I don't think we should take his call a minute before the break, do you?
Oh, I thought you were going to say ever.
No, I think ever we should take the call.
I think we should always take his call.
Okay, so we'll wait till after the break, John. The spots and the disease, I would replace them at this point. Some people will spray and treat or let them grow through it, but I'd just start over. This coming week after this
weekend.
How
cold the weather was, how damp for so long, I was not all that keen on getting our tomatoes in the ground yet.
But you never know. It's going to change.
It's a crapshoot, but I'm kind of ready now.
Maybe we could work something out with the two beautiful six-packs I have. And maybe we could ask John when, after the break, we could ask him about tomato diseases and whether he treats or replaces this early in the season. What do you think about that? Would that be a good question for him?
That might be a good question.
We were talking about snails and slugs, and I got sidetracked so easily. Look, a squirrel. What did you do anything to treat?
We have the Cory's, which is while not organic, is safe around pets and wildlife and children.
And so that's iron phosphate?
That's a sodium ferric,
okay.
I believe.
But it's safe for people and pets.
It is. And it is listed, it's safe for, fruits and vegetables. So I use that for the wider, larger area, just because it's not quite as expensive as the Sluggo.
But that's what you use around.
And we typically use the Sluggo Plus around the actual vegetables in the garden because of the spinosad to help take care of earwigs and pill bugs.
Why plus?
Because of the spinosad.
Oh, because it takes care of the snails and slugs?
That's why I said that, yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk. We're going to take a break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with George Allman. Ken and Mark are out doing other things, not better things, but other things. Would you agree with that?
Well, I can't agree because I have no idea what they are doing, but probably at least sleeping in, which might be better.
Yeah, maybe. John Clements from the San Diego Botanic Garden is waiting on the phone. We have questions for him, but he may have questions for us, so we'll let you go first. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, actually, I have a couple of maybe reminders or tips. Maybe three. So today is the spring garden tour for the San Diego Horticultural Society in conjunction with the APLD. So the APLD designers have designed these landscapes. And tickets have to be purchased in advance, but I think you can still get online and get tickets for that this morning. It starts at 9 and goes till 4. And that is, to my way of thinking, probably the best tour of the year, each year. So that's a fun thing. And then coming up in 3 weeks from today, please, God help me, we have the Orchid Show at the San Diego Botanic Garden. And Brandy Ide and I are designing that and putting that together. So we're working really hard to have a spectacular Orchid Show, which it always has been. So that'll be happening, opening May 3rd. And then 2 weeks from today, I'll have the great honor and privilege of teaching at the Walter Anderson University at Poway campus. And we're going to be talking about citrus. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm very excited about that citrus class as well.
I was going to say we, but I guess if you want to just make it about you,
George. I don't want to speak for you because, you may say, oh, John's coming again, and then he's going to teach everybody stuff, and then
they're
going to
buy all our supplies. Well, I would, but I wouldn't say that on the air. I would do the eye roll. Oh, John again.
Yeah, John again. No, unfortunately, I can't be there.
Where are you going to be? Well, actually, we don't need to get into that at this moment.
I want to be there, but...
Okay. We are looking forward to it, John. We may or may not have any citrus for you to sell when you're there, but you can always talk about it.
Well, we can always put in our hopes for next year. And this, just goodness, a week ago or so, I had two perfect Valentine pomelos that I shared with a French chef friend of mine. I said, look, we'll have a swap. We'll have these Valentines for dessert if you create this wonderful French meal. So that's what happened. And oh my goodness, Valentine pomelo is one of the great citrus delights. And the thing was bright red inside, this tartness, sweetness, red juice. I think that's one of the best pieces of fruit you can have in the whole world.
I agree 100% with you. The flavors that come out of that fruit are amazing. They're wonderful.
Now, you have one, right, David?
I do.
Yeah, that's where I think I've eaten. I don't have one, but I've had
They do better when they get summer water, just for the record. And if you want to mention that at your citrus class, John, that if you water your citrus trees in the summer, they seem to do better. You might already be planning on mentioning that, but in case you weren't, I'll just give you that little tidbit there.
I'm adding it to my notes now.
Okay. Hey,
important tip.
Before we went into the break, we were talking about tomatoes and the leaf spot and all the different diseases they get. And I thought, instead of just George and I talking about it, we should have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about opine. Do you replant? Do you treat? Do you not grow tomatoes? What is your position on tomato leaf diseases?
All of the above. So, yes, if it was really a bad start and you've got some bad blight, I think you're better off. Just go ahead, pull them, rework the soil a bit, add some more compost, and just restart. The other thing I'm finding is that I'd rather stick with the tomatoes that are just so easy to grow that it's just really not even thinking about it. You know, so I like Sun Gold. I love some of the, like Yellow Pear, a lot of these that just, you can't miss and you can't fail. And I get my tomato fix that way. I just have learned that I'm going to stay away from the really tough ones. At least that's for me. And then it depends, too, where you live. Further inland, it's a little warmer and drier. Where I'm at on the coast, it's really tough for us to get tomatoes in early and have them do well.
That was going to be my question on where you stood on getting them in early, but I think you just answered that, at least for where you live.
Do you know what I took from that? Not even thinking about it. That's my new garden motto, because I do most things without even thinking about it. And so you said you want to grow tomatoes without even thinking about it. That's kind of what I do, and that's probably why failure is an option.
Option one.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, John. You mentioned the garden tour, the San Diego Hort Society. You can buy them online. What does somebody ballpark search for to find those tickets?
Yes, so go to the San Diego Horticultural Society website, and right on the front page there, they will have a place that you can buy the tickets. I had a friend just buy a ticket last night, so I think you can still get them, but you do have to get them in advance online. They won't sell them at the sites.
All righty, John. Thank you very, very much for the call, and we'll see you at Poway in two weeks?
2 weeks from today, right.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Take care, John. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
I love that. That is me.
That's your new
not even thinking about it.
Well, I think
not because I don't. Well, just because I don't.
Right. Well, when you've been growing for a while, I think like.
Oh, now you're calling me oversized?
No, I'm saying when you've been doing this for a while, you a lot of it is just second nature, so you don't think about it.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a lazy behavior. It's you just don't think about it. You've been doing it for so long.
I do not think about it. I do not. Well, as Mom had told me many, many times, you just don't think.
And now you have evidence.
When I was, yes. My excuses were always cut off at, I didn't think. That's right. You just didn't think.
There you go. And that's the problem.
If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. So we're talking about planting. We're talking about spring. We're talking about rain. Do you have allergy issues?
Excluding the aforementioned.
I'm sorry.
Gluten.
Do you have pollen type?
Not too often. I do get some, you know, where I'll take some Zyrtec or something. But yeah, nothing severe.
I suffer, and the Allertec, I use the, which is citrazine.
Yeah, the same thing as Zyrtec.
As Zyrtec. But I'm up to, I have to take two pills a day now. It's a 24-hour, but one doesn't seem to do it. And if I feel good in the morning and go to work without taking one, I have an extra bottle in my desk, but I feel as though I'm going to be fine.
But
very quickly after getting to work or getting
to
wherever.
Well, there are a lot of plants at the nursery, and so there might be some pollen here and there.
And I have to take it almost every day, which is why I don't use Zyrtec.
Too expensive?
Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
The Costco Allertec equivalent, right. 365 pills for $14.49. And I bought mine 2 weeks ago before the coupon started this week. I'm bitter, very bitter.
As you well should be.
As I am. As
So, you know, we were talking about the wet weather and the disease on the tomato plants. There are a number of plants that also get diseases and are impacted with the weather.
Oh, name one.
The roses that this gentleman brought in yesterday that looked like his bag had Cheetos in it, but they were rose leaves with rust. And the rust had come off the plant and was in the bag. It looked like it was a mixture. It was
I gotcha. Like your fingers after.
Like eating Cheetos. And yes. I saw the bag and I saw all the orange. And I honestly, at first, from a distance, I saw some rose slug damage on it. And I thought that's what I was going to talk about with him, and that this was just a bag that he used until it got close, and I saw there was rust all over it, probably the worst rust I've seen.
Well, I normally, when I see rust this early in the season, accuse people of not having trimmed their roses enough and that it's leftover leaves from last year that get rust first. But I have seen a lot of rust on new leaves on new plants this year.
Yeah, same here.
It's been the proper, that's a lot of rust. And usually, before it gets that bad, George just showed me a picture. Before it gets that bad, you just see little yellow spots on the leaves looking down from the top, and you flip it over and you see
the rust.
The rust
pustules.
Powder. Yes, I was going to ask. I love that word.
I know you do.
It's one we don't use often enough anymore.
Well, what was interesting on this is he brought in three or four leaves from a single little stem, and it had rust. It had black spot on the top, and it had rose slug damage. So and I asked him similarly, did you prune back this year and spray?
And he said yes.
And he said no.
Oh.
Yeah.
So my admonition could still
it
be
still
appropriate.
Could work in this particular case. But the other thing I wanted to speak of was peach leaf curl.
Yes.
Because we have had a large number of customers come in complaining about their peaches and nectarines.
And you can spray for that right now, can't you?
You can. You'd just be wasting your money.
Why would you be wasting your money?
It's too late. It's too late, baby. It's too late.
If Brendan's paying attention, we'll have that coming back from the break.
Yeah, it's too late. You have to spray before the leaves come out, and ideally, you know, two or three applications, depending on how severe your prior year leaf curl was. And I will tell you that we sprayed everything in our garden, all of our fruit trees, twice this year, with the exception of the spicy nectar plum, which I did three times.
Still have it?
Severely.
You know what seems to be a big deal? It's the same in real estate as it is with fruit trees.
And I was going to go that path.
What path are you taking?
Location, location, location. That particular tree is in a shadier spot through the winter, and it's full sun in the summer, but it's shady until the summer's here. It's in a spot where it gets a little bit less airflow, and it gets tons of
ergo Proctor Hawk fallacy.
Tons of peach leaf curl.
Yeah. And it's not going to kill your trees. Don't despair. It'll grow through them as the weather changes. But now it's too late to spray to treat peach leaf curl. And it is what looks like your trees have been irradiated. They spent too much time in the water off of Fukushima. And
just like me.
Yes. You weren't in the water, though, were you? Well, you kind of were.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
And the leaves distort. They bubble out.
They dry out, they fall off.
Yes, and then the new ones come out and everything's...
Typically, the new ones will be clean as the weather warms up.
So be nice to your tree. Give it a little extra care, maybe a little extra food and a little extra water as summer approaches, but it won't kill the tree and treat this winter. Would you agree with all of that?
Concur.
Okay, If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on KPRZ and KCBQ. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back. So Brendan is paying attention. I would say really nice things about him, but somebody will hear and then they'll come take him away and he won't be here for us anymore. So I'm not going to say any nice things about him.
But continue to feed my ego. Go ahead.
Okay.
Did you try any of that beet cake?
Not yet. No, no.
Okay, you should. Unless you're allergic to it.
I have to go grab a fork inside the kitchen. I've been too enthralled by your show, guys.
Well, if you just sanitize your hands with the stuff that won't poison you and kill you, you can do it without going to the kitchen.
Yeah.
When we went into the break, I had gotten a text reminding me that I'm old. And then we go into the break, and Sebastian Gorka is talking about Relief Factor and getting old. What's going on? Oh, I know what it is. I'm getting old.
You're getting old, but not everybody hears the same stuff if they're streaming versus regular broadcast radio. So they may not have heard the Relief Factor.
Oh, that's so... Well, you guys missed out on a really great commercial for Relief Factor. That's the end of that story.
So you are getting old. We are getting old.
Don't let the old man in. The beet cake is delicious. Beets are good for you. And
well, speaking of good for you,
yes,
you go on hikes pretty regularly.
Well, I didn't for a while, but I took my first one this week, and it worked out okay.
So Capri and I, my lovely bride, took a nice hike around, not around Lake Hodges, but a good portion of Lake Hodges about 2 weeks ago.
You didn't go all the way around?
No, but it was 7 miles, the hike we did.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we did 7 miles.
I thought you were using that as your
excuse. No, it's 7 miles. It was a good hike.
Also, that's 3.5 miles out and back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But on the way out, we found a sign that was out there that spoke a little bit about San Diego County's diversity in the plant life. And it said that San Diego County has only 2.7% of the entire landmass for California, but it contains almost 34% of all the species, plant species in the state. So 34% of the plant species are located here in Southern California, in San Diego County.
That's
specifically.
A lot.
It is a lot. And in that, we saw lots of salvias and what I might consider weeds, but, you know, laurels, the laurel sumacs. There were tons of oaks. What was the other thing that we saw that was really neat?
I'm going to have a question for you when we get...
Okay. Well, so, ceanothus, lots of ceanothus in some sections. But also it is home to, San Diego County is home to 744 species of mammals, 500 species of birds, and over 80 species of reptiles, 15 species of amphibians. On that hike, one of the first things we saw was one of those reptiles as we were going down this very narrow path.
And did it have a baby sound maker on it?
It had a baby sound maker on it, and Capri was in the front, and she noticed it and jumped back as this reptile was lying across the path. And it was a section of path where you couldn't go through either side. You had to go either turn around and go home, or so we were...
Oh, was that the 3.5 mile mark? Is that why
it was in the early stages. So we were rolling, you know, pebbles and rocks trying to get this little rattlesnake to move out of the way. Eventually made his way into the shrub beside us, but let us know the entire time that he was not happy with us getting him out of the sun.
How do you know it was a boy rattlesnake?
It was just the generic he.
Gotcha. The biodiversity that you were mentioning, is that just in native species? Is that what they're speaking of,
plants.
The native species.
Yes. Yeah. And it was pretty interesting. And it's a great hike. Lots of birds everywhere. A lot of water birds down at the...
So when we think about the barren Southern California desert landscape, you don't think that it would have a lot of...
Diversity.
And then you think about Northern California, where everything is green and rich and covered with plant life. So it is all the same plant life up in the northern half of the state where they get water.
That would be my takeaway as well.
And then we have
a lot more diversity here.
That's cool. That's
pretty interesting.
That is
but
very
I didn't realize there were so many 744 mammals of species of mammals. I would argue a good chunk of those are in our yards. We have gophers, we have rats and voles and mice and squirrels.
Okay, but you said 700.
Deer. I'm working my way through.
Yeah,
deer and bobcats and.
Are you going to get to a majority?
Lions.
Are you
going
to get to 375 of them?
Keep going. Do you have any in your yard that I failed to mention? No, there's just a lot of diversity here.
Chickens?
It's pretty neat.
Do they count?
I don't think those count as the native diversity. I wonder what kind of – well, they're well, those are birds. Never
they're
mind.
They're birds, yeah.
I don't
they
know.
Don't, they don't count.
They're old dinosaurs. Yeah.
Two different types of squirrels, the ground squirrels and tree squirrels. So those
we
are
only,
two.
Yeah, where we live, we only have the ground squirrels.
I dispute that.
Okay. I accept your dispute and
I don't know that you don't, but I didn't know that I had tree squirrels until
see,
a neighbor pointed
in
it out.
We have tons of trees on the property, and I have yet to ever see a squirrel sitting in the tree looking at me.
How about on a power line, running down a power line?
No, we don't have any power lines there.
Well, maybe I'll bring you some. I'll export.
Please don't.
No?
Don't, yeah. We're quite content with what we have. So... Now, we have an interesting plant also at the nursery, right? That it's not for sale, but it's something that we have.
I don't even want to talk about that right now.
Okay, well, sorry for
that.
Okay,
talk about it. Bring it up.
Well,
Firefly petunia?
We spoke about this a couple weeks ago on the air, and then it came in. It's a light bio firefly petunia, which is a GMO product. It's a petunia that glows in the dark.
Now, do we sell those?
No, that's what I'm saying. We do not sell them, but we brought
them
in.
They're about $30 a piece for a 4-inch pot, and we just got a few to...
To experiment with. But the two things came to mind.
So this would be a gateway drug.
This is to
and we're going to experiment
That's
with
actually
it.
Actually interesting you say that because people, most people are opposed to GMO products.
Yes.
They'll look through the nursery and ask if this is GMO. They don't want a GMO fruit tree or vegetable. And for years we've always said you cannot purchase a GMO product at a retail nursery. You have to be licensed in certain people.
And you still can't at
Walter. You still can't. However, we're edging very close to it. You can purchase seeds online now for GMO tomatoes.
I did not know that.
That purple tomato that we spoke of a couple weeks ago.
What's wrong with the purple, like the indigo, just the naturally?
I don't know, but this particular one has, was it?
Snapdragon
genes in it. And it is available online with purchasing.
And what was
seeds.
The benefit of it?
I do not recall when we
So
did it.
We got in the test petunia plants just to play with. And I took it out and locked myself in a dark closet and saw no...
Bioluminescence.
I didn't take it out. I took it in and locked myself in a dark closet and saw no bioluminescence. I held it up to a light for 37 seconds, and I went back in the closet and saw no bioluminescence. I took it out and set it in the shade because it was really overcast yesterday for an hour and went and locked myself in a closet and saw no bioluminescence. But somebody got $30 from us for it.
So it says for the sunlight that this particular plant thrives in full sun, needing 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight for optimal growth. But more importantly,
for optimal growth, agreed.
But more importantly, if it's in shade, the glow that you are looking for is going to be reduced. And I hearken it to the old watch dials that you had to have in the light in order to get some kind of glow out of it.
So it's only going to glow during the day when the sun's out?
No, it's going to absorb that glow, the sun, and then radiate it back out at night when it's dark.
Maybe.
Yeah,
it was overcast, so it wasn't a good test, but I'll try. Hopefully, well, we're not going to have much sun today, are we?
No.
Because we
in
have...
fact, tomorrow might be a record low in San Diego.
Oh.
The temperature.
And we're going to have 0.05 of an inch of rain around town, so you got to be very, very careful. Do we have any classes coming
today,
up?
Today, 9 o'clock at San Diego, Bring the Heat, all about peppers with Kyra, and in Poway at 9:30, rainwater harvesting and permaculture with Chris Mader.
That's it?
That's it for today.
And the best garden tour, according to some, in town, and the flower fields?
And the flower fields.
Is that it?
That's
that
it.
All we have?
That's all we
then
got.
Then I stopped prematurely.
That's all right. We can keep
talking. Talk to me for 37 more seconds, would you?
What was the last hike that you did?
Yes.
Was it covered in any of the native plants?
Well, the ceanothus is blooming like crazy right now, and that's what everybody sees. They want the California lilac. They don't know that it doesn't smell good.
It doesn't, and but it does.
But it sure
look
does
good,
look,
especially
really,
when it's in mass
really
plantings on
good
the side of a hill in the chaparral setting. Absolutely.
And you know, I also, well, I really enjoy seeing all your biodiversity when I'm out on the hillsides, because that's what I'm paying most attention to, which is probably why I fall a lot, because I'm not
you're not paying attention to
where I'm walking.
For those reptiles.
You have been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Auto Talk is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.